Good morning. Yesterday, we were able to finish in our dais in Kuf Chaf Aleph, which was the sermon about Hechsher Kelim, Hagolas Kelim, and we finished the sheet. So we basically finished what I wanted to cover from your day. But I thought it would be a good idea, since the Shulchan Aruch itself on your day in Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph said in Siv Gimel, pointed out that the laws of Hagolas Kelim, a lot of them are found in Hilchos Pesach, in Or HaChaim. So again, we're not learning Or HaChaim, so I'm not going to go through all the details with sheets and everything else as we normally did over here, but I thought it would be a good idea to spend the one shiur today, Mitzvah Shem, on just going through some of the highlights of Siman Tof Nun Aleph in Hilchos Pesach and Or HaChaim. It's a long Siman, the 27 Sifim. We're not going to go through every detail, every Siman, just to go through some of the highlights of that siman, just to round out our knowledge of halachas of. Am I all right? I don't know if that was on my end or not. But anyway, be that as it may, this will give us some of the things we've covered already. But nevertheless, we'll look at some of the things in Siman Tof Nun Aleph. So at the beginning, it's talking about Hilchos Pesach, right? I mean, it starts with Hilchos Pesach. Obviously, the laws of Kashrut and Kelim apply to Pesach when we have Kelim that we want to use. That we use all year round for chometz thicker products, and we use for paste thicker products. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Kedei shacharis nishtam from chometz kol hashana afilus osus osam shosim bem daiso minekmachim mishav shon heite bin shvoi chometz nikar behem umutol hashosam achar pesach nishtam bem mino bei shalom mino." Okay, basically, you have kelim that we use for chometz thicker products. Okay, so just clean them and then put them away, right? Matzni and bepesach b'chom tzur sheinu rogel elch from kedei shloyov nishtam from bepesach. And so on. It basically says if you have kelim that you use for chometz thicker products, clean them to get rid of any ban, because there's an isser by your by motzei, and then put them away. You don't have to get rid of them. Don't use them. Put them away. Now, the important thing to realize is that we assume lahalacha, there's no lav, there's no violation of by your by motzei on blias. Okay, by your by motzei, part of chometz. Okay, if you have chometz thicker kelim, so you have to make sure you remove whatever chometz is there, but after you're done, they have to clean it properly. You can put it away, and that's why, by the way, our practice is we don't sell the kelim. When a person comes to the rabbi to sell his chometz before Pesach, a lot of people ask me, should I put my kelim down? No, don't sell your kelim, because we assume halacha, there's no bayir or bayir motzah and blias anyway. There's no issa to own it. The only problem is if you're going to use that kli and you have a tom kiker and so on, so then you have a problem using those kelim. You don't want to sell them. By the way, if you would sell them, then when you get them back from the goy after Pesach, you'd have to do tevilas kelim, because the kelim you purchase from a goy. So it's better not to sell them, but there's no bayir or bayir motzah anyway. So that's you know, that's the first part. That's basically a Pesach din. But then the Shulchan Aruch continues about his hesek shesikam ba'eish eino moel lahem v'lo l'shum kli cheresh nishtamesh bohem chamin afilu shaloi de or elo she'ir l'tocha rosin. Okay, because the sif begins, kedei shel cheres. So he's telling us that there's no hagola, there's no hechsher kelim, there's no hagolas kelim by cheres. Okay, Hagola will not work for kli cheres. What about libun? Okay, so libun should work in theory, but it doesn't. It says it doesn't help. That's the din. The libun doesn't work either. It does not work. And there are more adds. V'yesh osim afilu b'kli sheni. Okay, even a kli sheni. We're machmer even by a kli sheni. Something wasn't used directly on the fire, even though we assume it's not balea. That's la halacha. Generally, we discussed that a couple times earlier in the year, that klisheni is not balea, but there are some shitas that it is balea. So we're choshish for those who say that klisheni there is blia kadei klipper and so on and so forth. So again, we don't even use a klish, something that was used as a klisheni. Okay. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about over here in Sif Aleph with the Ramah. And in terms of kashering it, so the problem is that to go ahead and kasher it, we're concerned of two things. Okay, continuing the Shulchan Aruch now, the same sip. We're afraid, even if you're going to kasher it, you have to kasher the inside and the outside, so you're going to fill it with hot coals. You'll take it out too early before the libun is complete. That's why the libun, you don't do on klicheres, because we're afraid. Or choshes, you'll take it out too early. You can do a hesek, you can burn it from the outside, but as far as the inside is concerned, chashin, we're afraid you'll be nervous, it'll break. Below avid lahu hasaka ma'alya, you won't do a proper hasaka, proper libun. You're afraid it's going to break. Okay. However, umio imachzirin lekivshin shemitzarfin bo klicheres chadosh emuta the kevshin achlisol hesed gadol kazeb v'adalo chayes alad dilma paki. Okay, aval tanor shalom alo. He says you're going to put it back in. I guess we call that a kiln. You know, with the oven in which you create klicheres to begin with. So then, in effect, you've constituted it, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah in the Sivkot and Yud Gimel. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah adds she'ein darkan lahasvifnim alachutz ma she'ein akein tanur mafil shel klicheres she'darkan tomid lahasik vifnim lo chashinan dilma paki. That's always the way it's made. You know, we're not afraid they're going to be afraid it's going to crack, and so on. This is the concept that we can use today, even for a klicheres for a in a self cleaning oven. The self-cleaning oven, once you put on a self-cleaning cycle, so you can't stop it. Okay, we're not afraid, oh, you're going to take it out too early, because you can't stop it. Most, I don't know, maybe some you can, but I think as a general rule, self-cleaning oven, you know, it's like the kiln. It's like the kiln. It got so hot, something like 950 degrees, something like that. It's mamish as hot as a kiln in which you make klicheres to begin with. So that's why there's some coolers. I remember years ago, Rabbi Tendler, Shlita told us a story once, mentioned once with the baked beans, right? He said that some of his shul had a dinner party. I shared it with you once. Okay, some of his shul had a dinner party, and they served their baked beans as a side dish, and people remarked quite how tasty it is, the best baked beans they ever had. Later on, they looked, they realized that it was a mistake, and it was mislabeled, and it was actually pork and beans, okay, and not regular baked beans. I guess there was a mistake in the factory, in the labeling, or whatever it was. The problem was they used the klicheres, they used the china, you know. So all right, if you have a self-cleaning oven, you can put it in a self-cleaning oven. The question is, will it survive? That's the next question. But if it does, it's like it was reconstituted. Okay. Anyway, so Liban basically works with klicheres when you actually complete the act of Liban. Okay, the only problem is, again, both inside and the outside, but there's a chashash that, you'll remove it before it's complete, and therefore we don't do it unless you can create a situation where there's no chashash, okay? And earlier, the Mishnah Berurah mentioned regarding a klisheni, so the Rambam was machmer by a klisheni, but the Mishnah Berurah has a kula in Sivkot and Yud Aleph. The Mishnah Berurah says we can be maker by a klisheni if it's eno ben yomo and there's hefsid meruba. Okay, the Ramoah just said, afilu klisheni. The Mishnah Berurah added, however, meaning afilu lo iro behagder latochi. Never, never poured from the directly. It wasn't iri klivishon, right? But and the writes of the Achronim, eskimo Achronim de lachatchila bevadei shel hachmer kedas Ramoah. However, if you have a mukom hefsed, or for example, a simchas yontif, you know, you don't want to use it. That's the language of the Mishnah Berurah. Meniyas simchas yontif. Right, if he has a kli, he needs it. His finest dishes, he wants to use it at the seder, you know, a nice pitcher, whatever it is. So something like that, and it'll take away from the simchas yontif. That's considered like a shas of chak together with eno ben yomo. So the Mishnah Berurah says menei achronim are mekel. Okay. Now at the end, the Ramoah writes, kol kli atzorich liban argala also shtamish v'afilu tzonen below hechsher. Okay, and then he says, "But I ain't be yoredei simon kuf chafalov." The Ramoah is a maramakom. He says that you can use it now in yoredei. He says, "You remember yesterday?" He says you can use it for derech aroy. Okay, so what does he mean by that? What is he telling the ayin? Here it says you're not allowed to use it even for tzonein without kashri, even for cold. And then he tells you to look in yoredei simon kuf chafalov. So what did he say there? So we saw yesterday yoredei kuf chafalov that for tzonein you can use it. But you shouldn't use it in a permanent, only derech arai. So does he mean the same thing by Pesach? That's why he's telling us ayin? Or he's telling us, no, Pesach, you can't even use it for derech arai. Look over there in your day, Sim Kuch HaFalav, and he lets you know over there that for Shari Surim, we can be mekel with derech arai, but not for Pesach. So that's not exactly clear. That's a discussion as to what the Ramoah means. I just want to point out, it's on this simon, this if that the Shari Tshuva quotes something we've also talked about from the Chacham Tzvi, that once something hasn't been used for 12 months, right? Remember that? We discussed once something hasn't been used for 12 months, that is kulas also, which may apply. That's Sif Aleph. Okay? Sif Beis just mentioned certain types of Kalim, Kuvya, Shukli, Shosim, Elevanim, but Ofar, different types of Kalim. I said there are some Kalim which won't break, okay? Which won't break if you put, it was very, very hot, okay? And again, it's like the self-cleaning oven, so then Liban will work for those kalim, all right? Siv Gimel talks about knives, which we talked about yesterday in the end of Kuf Chaf Aleph, the last Sif, Sif Zayin, Kuf Chaf Aleph. So Sif Gimel over here, he talks about knives. Okay, so we mentioned that Sakinim Magilim Bekli Rishon or Mutarim Bekli Rishon. Okay, and they tell Mutarim, and he tells what Kli Rishon is. Okay, which we know about what it is. I'm not going to read every word here, but he talks about knives, and he says basically we're makel for Talal Hagola by Hilchas Pesach, even though by Shari Surin we said you need Libun. Right, that was a counterintuitive psak we discussed a little bit yesterday. That suddenly we're makel for Hilchas Pesach. Usually we're more makel Hilchas Pesach. Here we're makel for Hilchas Pesach. Okay, so the Mishabur and the other Achronim explain why, and the basic reason is because of Heterabola. Okay, Heterabola. But also not only that, but there's something else that's important for this sif, and it's important for Kasher and Kalim also, and that is the issue of Rov Tashmisho. Rov Tashmisho. Okay, Rov Tashmisho, you're defining a kli. Is this a kli it's for use for mostly Aloesh? Is this Roskin? I go by Rov Tashmisho. People use utensils. Sometimes I'll fry in it, and sometimes I'll cook in it with water, whatever. Different utensils have multiple uses. It goes by the Rov usage. So knives usually are not used directly over the fire, okay? So the truth of the matter is, Libun really isn't needed, okay? So the Libun is not really needed by knives, technically, because you don't use knives directly over the fire, yeah.
Shouldn't it just be what you actually do use them for? Wouldn't that make more sense?
Right, but I'm just saying, so right, so that's an effect it says. I mean, I guess if you know for sure, but you always know for sure, you never took a knife and with the grill on the, you know, on your barbecue and flipped over the meat, you know, that's the idea. But in Achanami, it goes by Rov Tashmisho, what you normally use it for. Okay, so Libun really isn't needed anyways, okay? So you combine that with the Heter of Heterabola, that's the Mishabur in Sivkot and Yud Tes, is where he talks about it, if you want to take a look, okay? So you have those, it's by Hagol, it's enough, because even though it have a Shari Surim the other way, here it's a Terabola. Okay, the Mishabur goes into this issue. Okay, it's a Terabola, also a Rov Tashmisho. Okay, it's also over here that the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishabur mentioned, Achronim mentioned,
as a general rule.
Yeah.
Sorry, just to clarify, if it goes by Rov Tashmisho, does that mean that it's not based on actually removing the metzias this time, and it's more of a halakhic process, or it could even be based on trying to remove the actual time?
You're trying to remove it. The question is, do you have to, in other words, if you know what you use it for, and you know it became tray through, directly through the fire, then you can't, well, Rob, most of the time I don't use it. This time you did. We're talking about, you know, we're kashering for Pesach. You don't know on a given piece of equipment what you use it for. That's the idea. Okay?
Oh, okay.
That's the idea. If you know that it became treif a certain way or became chometz a certain way, that's a different story. Okay?
Even if Rov Tashmisho is something else.
Yeah. Okay?
Okay.
The other point to mention over here is, just to throw it in, that Achronim talk about it also, that you're not supposed to kasher back and forth. You know, theoretically, I could have one set of dishes, one set of silverware, one set of dishes, right? And each night, after each day, it'll be Einam and Yom, and I'll kasher it and finish, right? And then I'll use it for milk, and I'll use it for flesh, and I'll use it for milk. You keep going back and forth. So that you're not supposed to do, because you'll forget what you're holding, maybe. Is today a milk, Shabbos Shalmi? Is it today a milk day, or it's a flesh day, you know? So you're not supposed to do it. However, Achronim write that if you, once a year, some sofer writes in the Shuvah, I think the Bekeep Eger brings it, maybe, I don't know, so some of them Achronim talk about it, that once a year, okay, you want to kasher your silverware for Pesach, and now on Pesach you want to use it for milk all year long, use it for fleishig. So, okay, you can make the change and use it for something else, but you shouldn't go back and forth regularly. Once a year, or let's say a person wants to sell, you know, you're going to sell, you're having a sale, house sale. If you're moving, so you're having a house sale. So you kasher, you magil everything, you can tell the people they use it for fleishig or milk. Okay, they never used it before, so it's not a problem. Just not supposed to go back and forth, okay? What else? Oh, very important also, the Shulchan Aruch mentions here, with the knives, in Yeshbo Gumos, if a knife has nicks and scratches or anything else, not only knives. So then you have a problem, because then you can't do Hagola. Because let's remember again, Hagola pulls out the flavor. Okay, Hagola pulls out the flavor. But Hagola works for getting rid of flavor, getting rid of absorbed tam, okay? But not for getting rid of actual ba'en. Okay, for that, you need limon. I mentioned when we discussed it already a couple times. The Hagolah is pulling out the forbidden flavor, getting it out of the item. Limon is destroying it. Okay, it disintegrates it. And that's if you have a knife or whatever it is, a utensil that has nicks and scratches in it, so the concern is that there's ba'en inside that nick and scratch. You may have some chametz in there or some whatever, tarfas in there. So then Hagolah is not going to work. Then you need to have limon, because limon, which Liban defines his meaning, again, we've had that before, mentioned nitzotzot, nitzazin, right? It's sparks, it's, but we'll get back to that in the next thing for a second. So in other words, that's the other thing that Shulchan Aruch mentions here. That's why handles can be a problem, because sometimes you have a pot and you have a handle, so the handle where it's attached is, crevices and gook gets in there and so on. So that's not going to be taken care of by Hagolah. That's sometimes a problem with knives and have handles. That can be an issue, because it can be crumbs, or it talks about what you cover the knife with, I don't know what to call it, but sometimes to preserve the sharpness of the knife, you put it inside some kind of a holder. What do they call it? With a sword, it's called a sheath, right? Well, I don't know what it's called with a knife, but you know what I'm talking about, right? They have a little plastic thing that you slide your knife in. You know what I'm talking about? So again, it could be gook inside there, so that could be an issue. Okay, Siv Dalin talks about Kalim Shemishtam Shemim Al Yideya Or Mamish on the fire. Shpudim Askalos. Again, that's the grates and the grills and the rotisserie spit and so on. That needs libun. Okay, that requires libun. And Shulchan Aruch says, and that was the Yerushalmi that we saw yesterday, Ad Shun Tzotzin Nitozin Mahem. That's be so hot that the sparks, so Moshe Weinstein, I think, says about 800 degrees. And the average self-cleaning oven goes higher than that. Okay? But others have a different cooler that the Ramor brings. Yesh makil nislaben kol kar shakaf nisrafal, nisorif mkomo. It's hot enough that you'll touch a piece of paper, or you'll touch straw to that metal, it'll immediately catch fire. Right? That's a lot less of intense heat. I don't know what exactly it is, what paper burns. Okay, 400, I'm not sure, but it's certainly less than nitzotzin nitzin. Okay, the sparks. Okay, it's a cooler. Okay, that's a big difference. All right. And so, what is this machlokus about? So the assumption is that when you have a bli of isura bolas, then you taka need that higher degree, the 800 degrees, nitzotzin nitzin. But if it's a terabola, then that's called libun kal. Libun kal is a light, it's like Hagolah. Okay, a libun kal is similar to Hagolah. It's a lower, Hagolah is 212 degrees, right? That's when water bubbles and evaporates. So it's around that same thing, I think. So we assume that libun kal is similar to Hagolah. So there, for example, we know certain things are terabola, right? I mean, let's say if you have a juice of milk, it was a terabola, okay? Or again, the mokra we had yesterday in Parshas Tzav from Kodshim, right? When you cooked in it, it was a terabola. Now it became nosa later, right? The next day it became nosa. That's also a terabola. So some question of where chometz fits into this mix. Okay, is chometz isurabola? Is chometz a terabola? Mechaber assumes chometz is a surabola, and therefore it needs what's called libun gomor or libun chomor. Nitzotzos nitzin, so hot that the sparks fly. And the Ramo says that some omekel say, no, you don't need it. Libun kal is good enough because it's a surabola. So, I'm sorry, it's a terabola. So that's a machlokas. You can look, in the Rishonim over here. The Shavur quotes some of them. The other poskim quote, okay, if chametz is only a terabola, so then it'll be okay. What's the idea? So one hand, I would assume chametz is a terabola. Okay, a terabola. That's how Ben Tam and others learn a terabola. Therefore, libun kal works. Okay, because after all, when I absorbed it during the year, chametz 100% mutter during the year, most of the year, overwhelming majority of the year, chametz is mutter. So I got chametz in this. You can't call it isurabola. Okay, because chametz is heter, it's a heter gomer. I can eat it all year long. Okay, and other Rishonim, perhaps even most Rishonim, say no, chametz is surabola because even though at the time it's not usur, but it's the same chametz. That's how Rabban explained. It's the same name. It's called chametz. And in fact, he brings a raya that chametz is not limited. The word chametz is not limited. It's all year long. When you make chametz, let's say you come to supper tomorrow night, and you make chametz and a challah, you don't refer to it as chametz. Oh, I have some chametz over here. You only think of chametz Pesach time, right? However, the Ramban points out in the halachas of karbonos, right? There's an isur kichol chametz kichol solos lo saktiru, right? The isur there's an isur chametz all year long in the realm of karbonos. There's an issue of chametz all year long in the realm of karbanos, right? There's a different chometz. That's most chometz have no chometz. Exception is the shtei lechem, okay? But the and the lachmei toda, or some of the lachmei toda. So chometz has this halachic status, if you will, all year long, and we call it chometz. So therefore, it's called the surah bala, okay? It's classified, so to speak, as the surah bala. That's chometz. It's always chometz. The name doesn't change. Anyway, the Ramah says that that's the machlokas over here. Whether you need libun gomor, which is what the Chaber says, following most poskim, nitzotzin nitzim, or it's sufficient of libun kal, and because it's a terabala, and the libun kal, as we say, is similar to hagola. Okay, it was just add an important thing, and that is where libun is only, as we'll see some examples, where libun is only a chumrah, like we just said by knives. Okay, knives, the ikar tashmish of a knife is lo ala ish. We're machmir to be to libun on knives as a chumrah. When it's only a chumrah, then libun kal will suffice. You don't have to go all the way to nitzotzin nitzin. Okay. Another point that Mishabura makes in Zekot Lamed Beis again, b'mokum hefsim ruba and it's eno ben yomo. Okay, which is why basically some poskim are makel with our ovens, even not self-cleaning ovens. How do you kasher an oven that's not a self-cleaning oven? So some say you can't, for Pesach, you can't, and therefore you should buy an insert and so on. But others say that Tzav Salavetchik held like that, and many others held them. Others held that it's sufficient to turn the oven on to its highest temperature. Turn it on to the highest temperature for the highest amount of time that you use it, you know, so turn it to the highest thing. So now that's less than the temperature for Libun Gomor. However, some want to say, but since that's as high as it goes, that is Libun Gomor. Okay, that is Libun Gomor. However, you used it, right? It's like Kabbalah Kach Polto. If it doesn't go any higher, so you couldn't have been come trafe to any higher temperature because it doesn't go any higher. So therefore, for that purpose, it becomes like Libun Gomor. That's a some explain. Okay, that's a some explain. Okay. Others say that, you know, again, the reason we're Makel is because it's a combination of the Shas Adchak. Okay, we have no way to tell a person he can't use an oven for Pesach, can't cook for Pesach. So you have that combination of Simchas Yontif, or the Mishnah called Meniyam is Simchas Yontif, and also the stuff is Eino Ben Yomo, so therefore Libun Kal is good enough. And then you have the third hat that since it was a Terabala anyway, right, according to those who've shown him, the Chometz is a Terabala. So for all those three reasons, many poskim are Makel, again, even the non, I assume most of the ovens in the Heights are probably non self cleaning oven, right? But those, probably not staying around for Pesach anyway, but if you do, so, you know, it's a case of many people are mako on that thing, okay? The same thing as a chumrah on the grates. What about the grates themselves, okay? The chumrah on the grates themselves. The Shabur and Sikot and Lamadala talks about that. They call it chatsuva. Let me find the words here. The Shulchan Aruch calls it chatsuva. Chatsuva is the, like the grates. Okay, well, that doesn't really need hagala either. If you think about it, it says chatsuva tzarich libun. I'm sorry, libun, but wouldn't really need libun mikra din because you know there's no rotev. Remember, we have that din ain bliya yotze mikliya kliya chatichli bla rotev. Okay, nevertheless, we're machmer on it. But if that's the case, then we could say since we're only doing the chumra, perhaps what do you call it? Perhaps it'll be sufficient to have libun kal. In Sif Hei, the Shulchan Aruch simply mentions the rule, okay, of Kabbalah Kach Polto. Doesn't use exact language, but that's referring to in Sif Hei, the din of Kabbalah Kach Polto. Again, as we mentioned before, that's what Ramah says, Hagola doesn't work for Ben, it only works for Libun. And the Mishaburis, if it became chometz stick through Iroi, through pouring over it, so you can kasher it through Iroi, but Mishabur reminds us to have low nifsta kakiluach, right, to be straight flow, not that the flow stops. We discussed that on other occasions, okay? And also, as far as, again, since the way that it became osir is the way it became hamutter, that's also the heter for kashering a microwave oven, right, through steam. That's what I usually tell you, you know, when you get a kasher microwave, and so take a cup of water, put it in, for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or whatever, a glass of water, and let it to steam up, okay, because that's the maximum weight became us, so you can kasher it through steam as well, you know, in that fashion. Tzivav is where the Shulchan Aruch says openly, kol kli holchen bach harov tashmisho, okay, everything goes by rov tashmisho, that's how we decide, okay. The question is, The question is that maybe this is what Yehuda you asked before. Okay, but there was meal tashmisho. So don't we have to get rid of that flavor? Okay. So as I said before, if you know about it, you certainly should. But the Mishnah Berurah in Sukkot and Memvav adds something. And he says that since we're dealing with Eino Ben Yomo, okay, we're dealing with Eino Ben Yomo, so then you can simply say that the whole, there's no gzera, doesn't apply when it was on the Miyut Tashmish. We don't worry about it by Miyut Tashmisho. Right? We have a general rule, okay? And Ezra, you know, you asked that question the other day about the Miyut, we gave an answer. Yes, I don't think I got a chance to listen. We gave an answer that the whole heter of you know, the whole chumrah of what goes Eino Ben Yomo Ato Ben Yomo. Remember yesterday. So the answer is that's only with something which started as a Ben Yomo that became Eino Ben Yomo in the pot. But here in the case we're talking about with the water, we'll come back to this. It entered the blia, entered the first entered as Eino Ben Yomo, right? When it goes back into the kli, right? Okay, I'm just came to my head because I'll come back to it, but that would be the answer. You'll take a look. But anyway, that's the Shulchan Aruch over here. Okay. And we're not worried about the Miyut Tashmish because anyway the whole thing is Eino Ben Yomo. And if it's not Eino Ben Yomo, there's no kula. Okay. And the Ramah says anyway, we are machmir for the Miyut Tashmish, but it's a chumrah. Okay, and since it's a chumrah that we said before, even if it's a chumrah, so then Liban Kal would be sufficient. Okay, and therefore and a gal would work as well. As far as drinking utensils, a kli shtia, okay, and this is a whole issue, okay, again, with our minigas, we do kasher for Pesach, even if it's only used for tzoning, like Kiddush cups. Kiddush cups, you only use for wine, for grape juice, right? That's only used for cold, so what? Okay, but nevertheless, we're machmer for Pesach, to kasher them as well, because maybe once you did put some hot drink inside of it, okay? Yep. And the Ramah adds over here, they're all in Sif Vav. Ramor adds that if you have a very big, large cars gadolos, okay, which again goes back to that issue, it's too big to put in something. So he says to put some kind of a stone on the kli and pour water over that, and that's like makes it light, it's like a kli rishon. All right, so for example, that's relevant to countertops. Okay, it's countertops. Okay. If you put a stone on the countertop and you pour water over it, so it's boiling hot, heaven melubon, right? A hot stone, you pour water over it to kasher it that way. What's the concern? So really, the truth of the matter is, what spilled? Most of the stuff that spilled was probably only a davar lach anyway, and therefore it's through iroi, so you can kasher it through iroi, just pouring hot water over it, okay? But we have a chashash, maybe one time a piece of meat that wasn't fell on, a davar gush fell on it, which makes it like a kli rishon, so we're not going to treat it like a kli rishon. That's why most people just simply cover, you know, you get these covers, people buy contact paper or whatever it is, you know, stuff to put on top of the countertops. That's a chumra, because usually the stuff only came through Erie anyway, so you can kasher it through Erie. Okay, there's some question about these steamers, you know, but that's probably only, that's Erie, it's probably Erie. So anyway, it's a chumra to cover, okay, cover it all together. That's how we're machmer. And that's what Mishmur explains again about the Eben HaMelubon, this hot stone. Okay. Siv Zion. One second. Siv Zion. Yesh Misha Omer. The Kapos. So there's different types of materials. Okay. Siv Zion talks about different types of materials. Okay, we already talked about plastic. We mentioned Eretz Yisrael, they're made to kosher plastic. Talked about that yesterday. Those in here should listen to the show yesterday. Moshe Feinstein said, maybe we shouldn't kosher plastic because who says Haggadah works? The Torah says Cher is an exception. And but maybe that was Cher is an exception, what they knew about. Plastic they didn't know about, so it doesn't work. And in America, they're machmer not to kosher, okay? Sivches is only talking about the time, okay? Okay, can kasher different kelim together in the same pot and so on, at the same time, okay? Siv Yud again is talking about different types of utensils. Siv Yud Aleph we talked about yesterday, frying pans, okay? Siv Yud Aleph talking about frying pans. So Hagol is enough for a frying pan, okay? But some disagree. All right. And because again, what's a frying pan? Is a frying pan need libun? Because the oil, on the one hand, is a medium of liquid. On the other hand, the liquid is not the water. The liquid is oil, and it's very little. And you know, sometimes even they don't even use liquid at all. If you just spray on what's it called, PAM, or one of the other types of olive oil or whatever, vegetable oil sprays, so that I think everyone agreed that, that's not called liquid for sure. Then you'd have to do Libun. Okay, but if you're having it through oil, so that's a question. All right, when you again, it's only talking about liquid, you know, liquid oil, but the other things which are, you know, which some kind of spray wouldn't apply to. All right, that's in terms of frying pan. That was a machlok we talked about yesterday. Sifyud beis, kolakelim torchal ahachli yedoseim kemosin. You have to kasha the handles also. Now we also talked about yesterday, right? Cham mitzos or cham kulo. Right, that's the issue of cham mitzos or cham kulo. And there's also concern that perhaps something splattered onto the handle. Okay. Yeah, so that's two reasons why you have to kasher the handles. All right, the Mr. Ramor says, but the Eved, it's okay. All right, but l'chatchila, im lo hagul ayados, ain't less of the Eved. Okay, but the Eved, it's okay. But I feel l'chatchila yochol agil ha'de irui. You can do it through irui, because maximum, right, it got spotted through irui, so that's... We don't have to assume the worst. See if your Gimel talks about Kli Sheshbo Talai, that's some kind of a patch. It's not relevant too much today, where the Kli got a hole in it, so, some kind of way to weld it together, and how to kasha that, okay? Then the question is, when did the hole come in? Did it come in before? Again, I don't think that's terribly relevant to us today. See if you're Dalid, you have a pot today that holds a hole, and you throw it out. Okay. Again, those days, you understand the logic, right? Because there's some space in between. And the question is, if it happened before you use it, so then it's Kabbalah Kach Poto, never, right? But if it happened the other way around, then it's a question. But then that's not so relevant to us today. See if your Dalid talks about Kisui, okay? Pot covering. Okay, that needs Hagola, okay? Because of Zaya, right? Zaya is a Bliya, okay? When you have a pot covering, we talked about that. So that absorbs through, it's like Hagola suffices. It's not directly in the fire, but it's a Zaya. So it has a Bliya. So Hagola is needed for that. Okay. Now, if you have something where there's no Tzif Tesvov, Kisu Shal Barzel Shal Masimin Oso Ala Harora, when you put cover for like a toaster or something like that, where there is no Zaya. Okay. So that's not an issue of Zaya. That's, there could be a Bliya there from the heat. Okay. So then it'll require Libun. Just a moment. Okay, so that's the first. That's these sifim. Okay, so all of these sifim we're talking about blias that came in through some sort of heat. The next group of sifim talk about when there's a blia through cold. Again, I hope you understand. I'm not trying to go through every detail. I'm just trying to give you an overview here of what some of these. Again, the Shulchan Aruch said that these details are found here, but this gives you an overview of this siman. So Sif Tes Zayin talks about a maducha. Right, maducha is a grinder, a spice grinder. Okay, so maducha mutaris ba'agola. Okay, the agola works. It's not over the fire. Okay, but the Ramor quotes a chumah yesh machmir alabin maducha. Okay, quotes from Rabbeinu Yoel, the father of Rav Yoel. Okay, he says that it's the somewhere machmir for have you need Libun, but again, since it's a Chumrah, then even Libun Kal would be sufficient. Again, the concern is that there's Be'en inside, okay? Because remember, when you're having a grinder, it's like a knife in a way. It's like what grinds up the spices is these thin blades, basically, and that's what grinds it. So in a certain sense, it's like a knife, okay? That's in terms of a grinder. Sif Yud Zayin Hadaf Sha'orchel of Kalashana V'chein Areva Shaloshin Bo. You know, the, I don't know what you call it exactly, but the surface where you need the dough, okay? That requires Hagola, okay? Now there's no heat there, you're just putting dough on it and so on. Since dough can ferment, it becomes perhaps like a Dover Charif. So there's concern, and again, of course, Hagola is enough unless there are Gumos. Okay, unless there are gumos. Okay, that's Sif Yud Zayin. Sif Yud Ches, Hanapa, Napa, like Napa and Kvar, Napa is a sifter. Okay, a sifter has many holes in it, the stuff gets stuck in between. It's hard to clean. Okay, so you need to scrub it. Hanapa, Tzarcha, Daktik, Bama, Odo, Nakosa. You know, a sifter, a colander. okay, these tiny holes, so stuff could get caught in there. Very, very hard to clean. So you have to be careful. If you want to use it for Pesach, I'd recommend against it. When you use it for Pesach, you have to be very, very careful to make sure to get the, to get all the things out. You really need to scrub it by hand. Okay. Better would be not to use it. Okay, in my opinion. Siv Yud Tes talks about a rachas, a rechas, shekorim pala. We had that once before. That's like, you know, when you make pizza, you have that, what do you call that, that holds the pizza on and then you put it in. Huh?
A peel.
Say it again?
Is it a peel?
A peel, that's what you call it. I don't know. Pala, it could be, okay. You know, when you put the pie on it, the raw, before it's baked, you slide, or matzahs, when you bake matzahs, you know, that thing with the long rod, it's got that round thing at the end. That's just a matter of here. Baker's shovel, something along those lines, okay. And it's put in the oven, so some say that Hagala will certainly not work for that. You have to clean it, and maybe even better to get a new one. I just want to point out, for those who are interested in a summary of a lot of these dinim, okay, the Mishnah Berurah here in Siman Kuf Yud Aleph. Okay, it's a long Mishnah Berurah, Siman Kuf Yud Aleph. Okay, not that long, but he summarizes some of the dinim that we saw already in our travels. There's a little summary if you want to read that in Siman Kuf Yud Aleph. Okay, again, going weiter. Again, as I said, I'm just trying to give an overview. Okay, Sif Chof. I lost my place. It's a moment. Yeah. Sifchof. Shulchanos. Tables. Vatevos. Closets. You know, cupboards. Cabinets and so on. Okay. Or countertops and so on and so forth. And you're going to put stuff in there. It depends on the things possibly could have splattered. Okay. And if it's a type of thing where perhaps a dover gush, like we explained earlier, a dover gush fell on it. Okay. It's near where you take out the pots and so on. So therefore, a dover gush. Meaning dover gush, which is yad soled, it's had to be hot. The piece of meat spilled out, a dover gush is some solid piece. So there you need, you know, this evan amaluban because you know, kashrin it with this hot stone. It's not enough. You can't put that in the fire. You can't put your countertop into the fire. So you have to put the hot stone over it and pour water over it, and then because you know, a regular ear won't work. You need the ear with evan maluban. Okay. The only thing is, again, you can be the Eved, not be the Eved, but some say no Hagala work because the Rove Tashmisho, most of the time, the countertop did not have any Dover Gush on. Nobody puts food, hot food, down on their countertop on purpose. And it's unlikely that it spilled also. Usually, it's something that spills, it splatters out of the pot. Gravy, sauce, soup, that's what spills. But hot pieces don't pop out of the top. And again, so therefore, it's Rove Tashmisho, okay? Adarabba, you don't want to put something hot, you know, put something hot down on your countertop and ruin your countertop. You know what I mean? So you wouldn't put it down on purpose. So Rove Tashmisho, and it's, you know, and anyway, Rove Tashmisho, your countertop is used for cold stuff, you know, so it's okay. So, again, you want to be machmir, so that's what people do. Okay, we cover. If you do kash, you don't have to cover it. But again, sometimes people are concerned with their countertops that there's crevices and cracks and so on and so forth. And a minig, then Shabur quotes as Mekufta as well. The minig is to cover it. Okay? Sirchof Aleph talks about barrels used for beer and liquor and so on, made out of cheres. Okay? So there's nothing hot, but it's all tzonin. Okay? Everything's cold. But it says in Simchah Falah, Chavios Shacharis, beer or wine, beer barrels, liquor barrels, Shenostel Bem Shechar Sorim, barley, beer, and some mead, ale, these types of drinks, can Hagala, or what he calls Iru Gimel Yomim. We'll talk about Hagala. Hagala, what do you need Hagala for? Everything's cold. The answer is because it's a Bliya Bitzonim, okay? And there is a Bliya because it's more than 24 hours, all right? So you can do Hagala, or you can do this, what's called Iroi Gimel Yomim. That's something Mark calls that in Avodah Zarah. Miloi v'iru. We discussed that before. Okay? You let the thing soak in water, cold water. You let it soak for 24 hours. Three sets of 24 hours. Okay? Now, those were 72 hours, but 24 hours have to be consecutive. The 72 don't have to be. Let's say you're cashing in 2 weeks before Pesach. So you can, you know, a lot of people do this. Will put it in their bathtub. Okay? Let it soak there for 24 hours. You have a person to take a shower. So now you take it out, and tomorrow you put it in for the next 24 hours, sometime tomorrow, Tuesday, right? And then a couple of days, the 24 hours have to be consecutive, but the three sets, the 72 hours do not have to be, okay? So that's that din over there. Poisonous over here. Again, this is a lesser form of kashrin because it's a lesser form of blia. All right, this works for blia betzonin. That's the thing about kashrin glasses for Pesach. All right, see, it's a funny thing. Again, we discussed this when we talk about kovash kamavushal, because what is the point of kovash kamavushal exactly? 24 hours, right? Yeah, but as soon as 24 hours arrive, there's tamlus gam. Right, so it's a sort of a dichotomy. Why is kavisha a problem? Why is kavish altogether a problem? As soon as it's 24 hours, so it's also in time of God. So that's what we say. But the evidence is okay because the time of God anyhow. And anyway, who says it was a blia? It was for kol. There's a machlokas. Many people will kasha stuff that way. But that's the question. You have to see on your own. It still seems to have a blig. Whiskey, for example, okay, with whiskey, the still smell of the whiskey, so you have to figure that out. But if you use that glass, again, we wouldn't use it for Pesach. Sivchav Beis, we discussed this yesterday also. Kol HaKelem HaFil Shel Cheres, Shnishtamish on Chomet Bitzonin, Mutor La Shtamish Bar Matzah, Filo B'Chamen. Okay, we have a kli where the blia was never, there was never a hot blia, okay. So most of kelim so can be used for chametz. There's no blia chutz. Certain things, exception, beisor, beis charses, charoses. He said charoses doesn't mean the charoses that we eat at the seder table. Okay, it means some kind of a charses, certain material which absorb. Okay, but again, the Mishnah Berurah says only derech harai. Kli charis, we don't use it all, even for tzonein, and even not derech harai. We just simply don't use it. The Ramah talks about Tanner shall base a chorif. We had the nana base, you have an oven which is used in the wintertime to heat up the house, right? And we talked about that, putting kelim on, is a bus with cholov issues there, very end of the Simon Pezain. So, Tanner shall base a chorif. So, here, I don't think many people do it. Our modern day example would be a radiator. So, your radiator gets hot I know there was this, outside the bathroom near the old base medrash. If you remember what it looks like, no? By an official base measure. So outside the bathroom is that radiator. And I'm talking about right when you come out of the bathroom in the official building. So immediately to your right, as you walk out, there's a radiator. And it gets very hot in the wintertime. They heat it up. So for a while, there was a sign of it. Do not leave your sfarim or tefillin lying here, as they will cook. Okay, because you leave it there all day. Some boys in the high school, they would put their tefillin down. It's a good place, a little ledge. And they come back, and the plastic melted. And who knows what happened to the tefillin? They will cook. So let's say a guy wants to cook on his radiator. I don't think that's a common situation today. Although perhaps the single guys would do that. I don't know. I don't think too many our wives or too many ladies would be happy cooking on a radiator. But I remember once come to my friend's dorm room. Okay, and I need to borrow a pen. And she says, there's one in the drawer. I open the drawer, and there in the drawer, together with the pens and the paper clips and rubber bands, whatever else you had in there, was a steak defrosting. Okay, that's what we put it in the defrosting. You have a drawer with scissors and staplers with steak in it. Okay, but a yeshiva boy is in a dorm, so that's what it talks about over here. A tanish or base of harvey, you want to cook something on your heater. Okay, so that's a question that didn't like a klicheres. The truth of the matter is, we're concerned about spillage. Shulchan Aruch talks about the stove top between the burners. We generally cover it. Most of our homes, we cover the stove top in between the burners because, again, it was possibly some sort of spillage. Okay. Even though, again, there's no rotev over there, but we do cover it for that reason. Simchov Gimel talks about a kli cheres hametzupin behitos chuches. Okay, you have a clay item. It's glazed the kli. So we're machmir to treat it like a clay, okay? Since it's made together, then the glass becomes like the cheres, okay? And therefore, it doesn't stop the bleed, even if glass is not polea. So we call it the glass for tefillah purposes, but not to allow in Pesach, okay? And there are more quotes of chumrah not to even use new china. In Ramah in Chav Gimel, Ramah writes, "Yesh mekamish machun shalos damish bekelim tzivonim afilu hein chadoshim." Okay, brand new Why not? What's the matter with that? There's no blee in it. But the answer is, in those days, sometimes they used to make the kli somehow. At least when they fashioned the kli, they used to make it out of some kind of a grain or a flour or something, some type of a material. So that's a problem with chametz. It's not relevant so much to us today. Okay? Siv Chof Dalid talks about kliyat hametzupin b'saman shakorim barg. Again, these are things which have designs on them. So you can't do hagala because it's ultimately, the kli is covered by this paint or by this. So you can kasher it in with the libra, and the question is the paint may melt, so we'll probably wouldn't use it. Sivchov, dala, that's Sivchov, dala, Sivchov, hey. Let's see, Sivchov, hey. Kol kli ashtia, we spoke about the drinking. Most of the time it's too cold. Go rove tashmisho. The Ramo is machmir because sometimes you do put hot, and you can only kasher for Pesach through mila ve'iri. Okay? And Sivchov Vav talks about klei zchuchis. Okay? Klei zchuchis afilu machnisan lekim afilu mishamshon mechamen ein tzok shum hechshir. So that was a machlokas. We talked about glass. You know, what's the story with glass? And we have the shitas I showed you the other day. The shitas mikamen akotze lakotze. On the one hand, it's extremely smooth, okay, so there's no bolea. The other hand, maybe it is bolea, and it's bolea even worse so much, it's like klicharis, you can't kasher it. So that's a machlokas, all right? So it's a machlokas whether glass needs kashering, or not only doesn't need kashering, you can't kasher it. It's kind of a machlokas all the way, all right? There's an obvious of nosen. There's an obvious of Nosson which lists the Klis Chukis, but the one and says that's just comparing to Cheres, not Bolea like Cheres, but it still is Bolea. And Ashkenazim, are not making on glass. The Shulchan Aruch says, okay. Shulchan Aruch says, Klis Chukis, afilu machnisan, kim afilu machnisan. We do it for fleshes and milkings, but not for Pesach. The Ramachab is even Pesach, okay? Ain't Tzark Shum Hechsher. Ramoa is Machmer. Okay, the Ramah says, the question is, can you do it b'di'evid? What about b'di'evid? Can you use glass and so on? Some hold of b'di'evid is okay, but we usually try to avoid it. And the Shabruz and Kuf Nun Vav quotes the Chayadam. So again, you can be Makel and do Mila V'iri, this three 24-hour units. Okay? And that takes care of that. Sivcha Zion, the last Sif and Issim, and I'll look a little bit at the Tuf Nun Beis also. Okay? Shpud Yoshin should solve all of his pace of Mutar for Bish Shakodim Slibos Maluch Malach Shal Nivda. Okay. Basically, he says, this is basically telling us that you don't always have to assume worst case scenario. At least with the Eved, you can, we can be Makel on certain types of Kalim where there's no reason to assume that there was any Chometz there. Okay, that's what we have in Simon Tuf Nun Aleph. Just a few points in Tuf Nun Beis, which is continuing as Managolis Kalim. Okay. First of all, so again, now we'll come to the question of one directional hagola, right? The question Ezra asked yesterday, and we gave an answer yesterday. But basically, how does hagola work? Okay, how does hagola work? Because the basic question is, good. I put my pots in boiling hot water, so the boiling hot water pulled the forbidden flavor out of the pot. That's nice, but it goes right back in. So how do you prevent it? So basically we have, and that's what's discussed in Sifalov here, in the Rishonim, we basically have, and we saw some of them the other day on the sheet, four different eitzes, okay? One is make sure that it's Eina Binyomo. You can make sure the kli is Eina Binyomo, because what about the Gzera Eina Binyomo, Otto Binyomo, like Ezra said yesterday? The answer is, I explained yesterday, that Gzera is only when the time started as a Binyomo, and then it became Eina Binyomo in that pot. But here, the time that goes in, you know, after you pull it out, right, and it's in the hot water, it's going to go back in. But what flavor goes back in? It's Eina Binyomo flavor. I mean, there's no gzera, auto binyomo at that point. Okay, so that's one suggestion. The other suggestion, of course, is to make sure there's shishim in the water. You can make sure the water has shishim times whatever it is. Okay, then we had yesterday a little bit as a machlokas. It's against all the kalim or against each kali individually, right? We say it pulls out a flavor, but there's shishim. Now I put some else in, pulls out that flavor. So there's shishim against that too. After a while, there's not going to be shishim against whatever iser comes in. Or do we say no? The shishim destroys it. Kama kama bato, right? We discussed. So that's a machlokas we've shown him. The Rav and the Rashbo. The Rav says you need shishim against each kli. The Rashbo says no. You can all the kelim combine. Okay, the Mishabura said there's a reasonable chumra not to kasher only kli kelim together. Okay. Then there's another heter, okay, another reason to be makel, and that's what he's talking about in this simon. This simon is called Zman Hagolas Kelim. You make sure, it says in Sifalav, Yeshuzol Hagel Kodim Shah Hamishes, right? Be magel before the Zman of Isser Chometz comes in, because then you have not pranat b'ater. You have Chometz going to the Kli, going to the water, going back into the Kli, so that's not pranat pranat, okay? And it's the Tera, and at that point, we said one of the Svaras of not pranat, the Tam Kolosh, whatever flavor comes back in is a significantly weakened flavor. It's had a rough day, okay? It's been going through a lot, so it can't really impact, okay? And then there's some who say, if you remember, we had that also in the Gemara, they apply it over here, I did the Tard Lemiflat Lo Bala. It's not, since it's pulling out, it doesn't go back in. So those are different heterim, okay? But again, you know, that presents an issue. How long? You leave it in for so long, you know, it's going to pull out. For how long do you say it's pulling out before it goes back in? So you have to put it in for 1 second. On the other hand, you don't want to leave it in too long. You don't want to just do 1 second. How much can it pull out in 1 second? On the other hand, you don't want to leave it in too long. So in Sif Aleph, the Mechaber follows choice C. Okay, make sure you maga before the fourth hour. You avoid the problems. Okay, you have it's Eina Ben Yomo, it's Shishim, and you have the right time. Okay, the only thing is, that's all very good. Not pranat v'ater if you assume that chometz is hater bala, right? But if you assume like those we've shown, which the Mechaber himself paskin and Siman Tofnun Aleph was a sura bala, okay. So then what's going to help? Okay, but so that, you know, if you say like I want hater bala, it's okay. So the Biur Halacha asked this and leaves it tzarchin. How could the Shulchan Aruch say here? Well, no, make sure you do it before, because that way it's a terabola. What do you mean? It's not a terabola according to you. You said it's a surabola. The Mishnah Berurah and the Bria Halacha in the beginning there raised a question. Okay, the Aruch Shulchan here in the beginning of this sif has a teretz. He tries to give a teretz that you know what exactly happens when you do hagola. Okay, really, it's not Isur Bola, it's a Terabola. So why are we machmar in an oven to consider it Isur Bola, require Libun Gomer, and so on? Because what happened is that Libun Kal takes out most of the forbidden flavor, right? Or Hagola, takes out most of the Isur. Doesn't get everything out, right? It pulls out, but doesn't get everything out, right? Remember, that's the difference between Libun and Libun destroys it. It simply vaporizes it. Okay, it's not there anymore. It went bye-bye. But when it comes to Hagala, it pulls it out. It doesn't pull out everything. However, it pulls out enough such that, says the Aruch HaShulchan, whatever's left is Batal B'Shishim. Whatever's left is Batal B'Shishim. Okay. That's very good all year long. But by Pesach, we're not, Batal B'Shishim is no good. Like Batal Pesach, we're concerned even about Isur Mashu. So therefore, by Pesach, we're Machra for Liban. That's the answer he gives to solve this Mechaber. Okay. Again, the Sif Beis. So this is a shorter Simmons. We'll finish. Okay. He says about kashering certain things together. Yesh lahas elizar and Sif Beis milahagil kli abosar kli acholav biyachad elam kein echad mehem ina banyomo. Don't kasher milchig inflation kelim together. Okay, unless well, at least one of them is ina banyomo, because then the water will become basar v'chalav. Okay, that's fairly obvious. Okay, then in Sif Gimel, for Hagolas Kelim, don't put too many Kelim in at once. Okay, because we have to also mention that putting in the Kelim cools off the water. Kelim, you know, the silver is cold. So at one point, you'll put in enough, it'll impact the, you know, you pour in a whole bunch, and then a bunch of things are going to cool it down to beneath the bubbling points. You have to be concerned about that. Okay, Sif Dalad, you can be magil bitzebes. It was like clip. What do we call them there? Tongs or clippers. You hold it with something. You know, you want to put it in, you burn your hand. Okay, so you can use tongs. Okay, but you shouldn't hold it too tightly with the tongs. If you want to dip with tongs, you have these long tongs. So because you don't want to put your hand right on top of the fire, you burn yourself. So therefore, you put it in with tongs. That's okay, but you have to hold it sort of gently. Okay. Here again, it has to be roskin. By Tvila, we said you could do it as long as your hands are wet, and so that's not going to help over here. Okay, Sif Hay just defines the fire. Okay, Sif Hay Ein Magil and Bechamei Tveri, different types of fire. The fire, the water has to be heated through fire, through normal fire, but not through Chamei Tveri or say microwave. You don't kasher something in a microwave. You can kasher a microwave, but it's a, but not, you can't kasher, you have to have water. That's a further question. Does it, Ramon mentioned it only works with water and not shar mashkin. Okay, can I kasher in? I don't know why you'd want to, but can I kasher in some other liquid besides water that I heat up? Ramon says only water. Okay, but yeah, I'll tell you where it becomes relevant. Okay, Ramon Feinstein has a trip about this. In certain industrial, industrial places, they don't want stuff in hot water because it causes it to rust. So they use some type of chemical or oil-based, oil-treated liquid that apparently prevents rust. Okay, that's what's done in industrial places. Okay, and they don't want it. When you kasher, they don't want to put it in water because it's going to ruin the... Matter of fact, we once had an issue with an Aravad here, the RCBC. So the Mashgiach made a mistake. It was an honest mistake, but it cost a lot of money for us because he put the stuff in and they put it in the wrong way. It ruined the silverware. Silverware from a caterer that was not necessarily a kosher caterer, but they were using like a hotel or whatever. They were koshering it for a kosher affair. Okay, and he ruined all the silverware. Okay, he ruined all the silverware, but by leaving it in, not exactly. So they don't like to put it in hot water because their type of silverware, whatever. So you have a different type of solution. So that's what Ramosha says. That comes over here in this Ramoa. So we rely on those Rishon, at least for the Eved, who say that it's okay. Sivov talks about something we discussed also. When you have a huge kli, it's too big to put into something else. Right? Kli gadol sheni yochel achnisol toch kli acher machmas godlo. So we mentioned before, but... Yeah, we had an eitzah in our simon about putting a thing made out of dough, right, to make it higher so it bubbles out and hits the rim. And that's not going to help on Pesach. You can only use something made out of dough on Pesach, right? That's not going to work. Okay, so if you can make it out of something else, it's good. Or you can put in something that causes it to overflow. You put in a hot something hot that's not going to cool off the water. You take a brick, okay, you have a hot brick, a hot stone. Okay, but it's got to be hot. There's got to be something that when you put into the water, it's not going to cool off water. I just take something else and dump in the water, make it overflow. But yeah, but when you put that something else in, that cooled off the water. So you don't know that the water falling over was bubbling. But if I put in with something was piping hot, a hot brick, I put it in, it didn't cool anything off, then it overflows. That's another way you can kasher that. And Sif Zion mentions that Noagin Lishto for... Meaning, immediately after you do hagala, you rinse it. It's only a minig, okay? We don't exactly know what the mucker for minig is, okay? Why should you rinse something afterwards? You know, you did it. So what's the issue, okay? So I once heard a shiur on the subject of David Miller, who taught Yeridei for many years in Grus. He teaches still in Grus, doesn't teach Yeridei anymore, but he taught Yeridei in many... Many people learned Yeridei, or went to Grus, learned Yeridei with David Miller Shlita. So David Miller quoted Rav Nevinsal, okay? Rav Nevinsal, and Rav David Miller has, you know, I listened to his shiurim on these simonim. He has more detail than I gave today. But anyway, he quoted Rav Nevinsal, who says that we find the concept, and we had this. We had this in Gemara and Zvachim. It was in the sheets the other day. By Kodshim, we have something called Mariko Shtifa, okay? So... Mariko Shtifa, what is Mariko? Mariko means a really solid washing, perhaps even kashrin. Shtifa is rinsing. That's by Kodshim. So Morak Veshiltof Mamayim is a pasuk in Pashas Tzav. So he suggested maybe this minig, I don't know, maybe it's in his, now I realize this, you know, they printed an edition of the Mishnah Berurah with Nevin Sal, what's it called? B'Yitzhak Ikari, I think. You seen that, Mishnah Berurah? There's an edition of Mishnah Berurah. So, I don't have it, so look it up on this simon, maybe even quotes it here. I heard it from David Miller in the neighborhood of Nevitz. I don't know if it's in this Yitzhak Kari or not, but he suggests maybe it's a Zechel HaMikdash that we have this minute. Where does this minute come from? After Yikashi, you rinse it off. It's a Zechel HaMikdash, okay? Which I guess is as good a way as any to end. Now, I'm mentioning Zechel HaMikdash. We should be Zochet to see the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. I hope that, I wanted to give this overview. I hope that I think we accomplished a lot. I'm very pleased. We really got through every simon and sif in Rosh Chodesh, in Tarovis, in Pasakim, in Bishalakim, and in the Tefillas Kelim and Hagolas Kelim. And here I ran through, but I just want to give you this overview of some of the different dinim. As you saw during the course of the year, and I feel very strongly to do not what we did today, just to run through the Shulchan Aruch. I think, again, I was just doing that as a postscript, but... usually I think it's very valuable. That's why all the sheets that I gave out always started with the Gemara and what the Rishonim say. And now once you see the Machlokas there, then you see how the Mechavan Amor and the poskim afterwards worked everything in. I think it gives a person a greater tvisa, a greater kinyan on the material to see the Gemara's inside, to see the, you know, what the original sources were. What I did today, just to read through, okay, again, it was just today, it was an overview, and it wasn't really officially, quote-unquote, part of the Yoredei curriculum, it's an Aruch Chaim, but as I said, since the Shulchan Aruch sent us there, worth looking at least, you know, at least superficially. And this was superficial, but I hope it gave you some insight. But I think in general, when you learn whatever you learn Hilchos Nida, you learn Hilchos Shabbos. My opinion is you should try and see what the Gemara is saying and what the, you know, what the, if they're psukim, and you know, see everything as it unfolds, and then you know, then everything fits in, and I think you have a better understanding. I hope that worked for you. I thank all of you for your attentiveness throughout the year, and. You know, I wish everyone a pleasant, very pleasant summer. I know that most people this summer is not exactly what you may have anticipated originally, not for me either. I do want to mention that there are, I'm sure you've heard about it, there are shiurim throughout this, at least in July, I think into the beginning of August. It's not next week, but the following week, given by different Rosh Yeshiva and our Yeshiva, learn different mesichtas. I myself, Bez Hashem, will be speaking twice a week in an evening, Thursday nights at 9 o'clock, for a half hour, I have something entitled Parsha Shavua, Practice and Pshat. So 15 minutes of a little Dvar Halacha, a halachic concept that emerges from the Sedra, brief, and then some Pshat, some insight into something from the Sedra. So that's Thursday evenings at this same channel, this same Zoom site. You can access if you're interested. This is a half hour, 9 to 9:30. Also on Thursday nights, 9:30, I deliver a sheer, an in-depth topic, a different topic, Halacha and the Sedra, every Thursday night. And hopefully it'll be on Wednesday nights, maybe also 9 to 9:30, an open Ask the Rabbi type of a session they're trying to put together also. But there are many other things available from wonderful Rabbeim, and I wish all of you Hatzlacha. And I certainly hope you'll keep in touch, and we'll be able to see each other. First of all, hopefully we'll see each other live at some point rather than on Zoom. Eventually, I mean, it's Hashem, you know, at least some connection, some fashion or another, as soon as possible. But in the meanwhile, be in touch, or we still have the WhatsApp, so you can write in, or if you have a question or you want to be in contact, please do so. And I wish all of you Hatzlacha Rabba. Again, I know people are busy, but it's always good to do Chazara. Okay, you have all the papers, you have all the sheets, you know, to, at least maybe to chazer over the, maybe over the summer, to learn Bas V'Cholam and Torah without the sheets, just to read the Shulchan Aruch, just to read through, you know, I think it's a good idea, if you have time, just to read through the Mechaber Ma'amor. You know, if you have an issue you're interested in or a question you're stuck on, so go back to the sheets or go to the Beis Yosef, you know, of course, quotes everything that we had in the sheets almost, and other Achronim you can look at, but just to go through Bas V'Cholam, Torah, things we learned. Mechaber Shulchan Aruch, hopefully it'll trigger in your mind. You'll remember, okay, you know, the goal of learning in Smicha is not to make you a posek, but to make you comfortable with the Yanim. You know, that you're comfortable, you can read, you can see when someone's talking about it. You see an article about it. Oh, yeah, I remember we discussed this and so on and so forth. Hopefully we accomplished that. I wish all of you very much Hatzlacha. Okay, and a good Shabbos for this Shabbos as well. Okay. And please, let's all stay in touch.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Well, welcome.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you very much, Rabbi.